Good morning, and welcome to the May 6th edition of Southern Champaign County Today. My name is Lori Talkington for the Illinois Radio Reader, and today's date is Thursday, May 7th, 2026. Top of our front page today, we have news from the Champaign-Urbana Spinners and Weavers Guild. They took their skills south to Douglas County on Saturday for the Illinois Amish Heritage Center's Sheep to Yarn to Quilts event. While sheep and alpaca were sheared in the historic barn, spinners and weavers volunteers spun yarn and dyed it outdoors over open fires to be used to make those quilts and other items. For information about the Illinois Amish Heritage Center and its schedule of entertaining and educational events, you can visit their website, which is simply illinoisamish.org, and Illinois Amish is all one word. The Illinois Amish Heritage Center Living History Farm is open to the public every Saturday from now through October from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m., and we hope you'll join in some of the interesting activities they have for you. Let's jump right into our community news and notes with our weekly newsletter from the Philo Library. Philo's Bring Your Own Book Club will meet on Tuesday, May 5th at 6 p.m. in the library's meeting room. Join us for refreshments and conversation about books, books someone else has read or heard about, books that someone is looking for. You get the idea. All it takes is an interest in books and an hour or so of your time. Maybe you'd like to grab one of our new books before attending the meeting. We've added several new titles in large print. They include Good Morning America's Book Club Choice, Yesteryear, by Carol Claire Burke. This is a popular title, as are Emma Straub's American Fantasy, Fern Michaels' The Final Storm, Upward Bound by Woody Brown, and that is a Read with Jenna book, and Debbie McComber's Chasing the Clouds Away. Ghost Town by Tom Perrotta is a regular print book, but it's also on our new bookshelves. School's end is fast approaching. Parents, have you figured out how to keep the kids busy this summer? The Philo Library has some ideas that don't cost anything and should be fun for all the attendees, some for younger kids, some for elementary age kids, and some for middle school through adults. A list detailing everything, all our activities and adventures, will be available at the middle of May in the Philo Library and also on the library's website, as well as the Philo Watch. We're waiting on some final notes and plans to fall into place, and then we'll send a flyer through the schools and have information available in the library as well. So, lots will be happening at the Philo Library. Just keep checking in with us, and as always, keep on reading the column and our books. We appreciate it. Next up, we have news about a meteor shower from David Leake, former director of the Starkle Planetarium at Parkland College. And he says, you might see a few Delta Aquarid meteors in the sky these evenings, though the peak of the shower occurred this morning. The Delta Aquarids are known for their trains, which is a kind of afterglow produced by ionized atoms recombining. The shower is believed to be related to comet Macholtz, which was originally discovered in 1986. Under dark skies, one might see 10 to 30 meteors per hour, although I would lean towards the lower end of the range with a waning gibbous moon in the sky. Bright moonlight and meteor watching don't get along very well together. The moon will brighten the southeastern sky during the pre-dawn hours tomorrow morning, which is prime time for seeing meteors. The moon reaches its third quarter on Saturday. Saturn is already above the eastern horizon by 5 a.m., with Mars not far behind. The moon will visit Saturn in the east on the morning of the 13th of May. Look for the planet below the thin, waning crescent moon before the sun rises. And next up, we'll move on to news from the Tolono Library. And they begin, Mother's Day is coming up this Sunday, and we have a special opportunity for moms to celebrate leading up to their special day. Mom's Night Out is this Thursday, May 7th, from 5:30 to 7 p.m. We'll have flower pots and supplies available for you to plant and decorate your own flower pot while you relax and chat with other moms. As for the rest of you, if you haven't done anything for your mom yet, we'll have a drop-in craft day on Saturday, May 9th, when you can come in and make a special homemade gift to show your mom how much she means to you. We'll have a few very special kits, but also a general assortment of supplies to allow your creativity to flow. If you need a break from your little ones, come by Ms. Leslie's Sensory Storytime on Friday, May 8th from 10 to 10:30. She'll have stories, crafts, and a silly song or two. On Monday, May 12th, Paw Print Ministries will be here with Poppy, their therapy dog, who loves to listen to stories. Children are invited to come and meet Poppy and take turns reading a story to her. Stop in any time between 3:30 and 4:30 on Monday, May 12th. Later come back for Sourdough 101 with Colleen Richardson from Richardson's Farms. Her presentation starts at 5:30 on Monday, May 12th. This is a rescheduled event from the March calendar, but there is currently still room for you to register. Finally, if you're an older adult wishing you could be just a little more active, join us for our first senior fitness class on Wednesday, May 13th from 9 to 10 a.m. The class will be low impact, focusing on balance, stability, and strength. Much of the activity can be done while you're seated, and it will be led by personal trainer Eddie Edwards from Champaign's Stevens Family YMCA. For more information on all of our programs, be sure to visit our website at tolonolibrary.org. Tolono Library is all one word, and look for the link to events. Or stop by the library yourself and pick up a calendar or a brochure. We want to thank Hillary Reinhardt, who is the Community Engagement Librarian at the Tolono Library. Next up, we have Rocket Rundown by Olivia Withift. Last week was incredibly busy. Starting on Monday, there were three varsity events. Boys track and field had a meet in Salt Fork, which was eventually canceled. Then Tuesday hosted softball, baseball, and track. Softball played St. Anthony's at home, where they do their best work. The team won 10-0 over the Bulldogs. Baseball also took on St. Anthony's, but away and with a different outcome. The boys lost 2-5 to the Bulldogs. The girls' track meet was hosted by Urbana and was an outstanding success. The 200-meter was the most remarkable event in this meet, with the Unity girls taking the top six spots and Emma Swisher placing first at 25.52 with a new school record. In the 800-meter, Carolina Popovich, a freshman, placed first. Mackenzie Pound placed first in the 1600-meter. Cameron Kaiser, placed first in the 110-meter hurdles. Both the 4x100 and the 4x200 placed first. Grace Worley placed first in high jump. Cameron Cobb placed first in the triple jump. And Jillian Schlitter placed first in the long jump. Wednesday held just softball against Central Catholic. The girls won 12-2 and extended their winning streak. Similarly, Thursday was strictly a baseball day. The team took on Central Catholic on the road and won 4-0. Friday, there were two track meets. The Unity boys were in St. Joe while the girls were in Monticello. The meet in St. Joe was huge. So big, in fact, that there were separate categories for every event determined by upperclassmen or underclassmen. The Rockets did not bring home a first-place finish, but left the meet with several second-place wins. The girls' meet went different, with two first-place finishes, Ava Jones in the long jump and Grace Temple in the 100 meters. On Saturday, baseball had a doubleheader, while softball also played two games. Softball played Tri-County with an 11-4 win and SHG winning 1-0. These wins extend the Rockets' winning streak to 11 games. Baseball also won both of their games this week. Their first was against Coal City, which they won 12-0, and their second meet was against Dixon, also winning there at 8-4. This upcoming week, baseball has games on Monday, Thursday, and Saturday. Track and field has 4 meets, and softball has 4 games. It's a busy time of year for the Unity Rockets, and we're still saying, go Rockets! And next we have news from Rocket Nation, brought to us by Diane Ducey. The weather was challenging for our community at the end of April. With so much rain coming in at once, pooling occurred in fields east of Tolono, with some flooding in streets and reports of basements retaining water. Excuse me, the Tolono sirens went off in southern Champaign County as schools and local businesses initiated their safety plans to take shelter. Principal Darren O'Connell at Unity West Elementary School, with about 400 students enrolled, made comments to local media about this incident being the first time in his career that involved an order to shelter in place and the school lost power at the same time. Mr. O'Connell said, "In a moment of chaos, our entire building staff acted quickly, carefully, and with care to get all our students ushered into their designated zones and keeping the kids calm. Communication was great with the district administration team in case the power did not come back on, but fortunately, we did not have to move on to Plan B." Unity West's Teacher Appreciation Week has had various different themes on different days through May 8th. They include wearing spirit apparel, writing fun messages with flare pens on post-it notes, enjoying some rocket brew, or getting a teacher supply box created with craft supplies along with lunch off the grill on Friday. Spring is always busy with Unity West Parent-Teacher Organization having their final meeting of the school year on Tuesday, May 12th. The meetings typically occur on the second Tuesday of every month. So the upcoming meeting is Tuesday, May 12th at 6:30 p.m. in the school library. Plans will be spelled out for the last day of school, which is Friday, May 22nd, and that will be Fun Day. An elementary school full-mile fun run is scheduled for May 19th, and opportunities to sign up for summer camps at Unity High School, the U of I, and Parkland College, with notices sent out about deadlines for the various camps. May 15th is the last day to get school nurse Suzanne Gately your dental forms covering the last 18 months. You turn them in for the kindergarten and second graders. Plus, yearbook pictures and updates on events well into next spring semester, as those interested in getting orders turned in before June 15th for delivery in the fall of 2026. 6th, 7th, and 8th graders interested in the junior Rockette team can attend at least one dance clinic taking place at Unity West's gym between 6 and 8 p.m. on May 5th and 6th, with the tryouts to perform the dance routine on Friday, May 8th, between 6 and 8 p.m. Results will be posted that evening on the team's Facebook page. We also want to offer a shout-out to the fifth graders at Unity West who developed a living wax museum. Their project involves several months of research on a particular character that they represent. The students create and memorize a speech for their presentation, honoring someone who believes in justice, shows bravery, and exemplifies leadership. Congratulations to the fifth graders at Unity West. And next we have news that our mailmen will be collecting food for our various community food pantries. It's called Stamp Out Hunger. Each year, letter carriers across the country head out on their routes on the second Saturday in May to collect donations of non-perishable food items to benefit local food pantries. Since launching in 1993, the National Association of Letter Carriers' annual Stamp Out Hunger Food Drive has grown into the nation's largest one-day food drive, helping to fill the shelves of food banks in cities and towns throughout the United States. The need is great, but you can help. We invite you to join the letter carriers and our partner organizations in the fight to end hunger in our local communities by participating in the annual Stamp Out Hunger Food Drive. Here is the deal. Simply leave your donation of non-perishable food in a bag near your mailbox this Saturday, May 9th, and your letter carrier will pick it up and do the rest. Thank you for being a part of this very important community effort. And next up, we have the Sydney Scoop, brought to us by Ann Roten. And she begins with news on the inaugural Sydney Spring Fling, brought to us by the Goose and the Gander and the Sydney Improvement Group. That will be taking place on South David Street in downtown Sydney this Saturday, May 9th, from 9 a.m. to 3 in the afternoon. The event is taking place the day before Mother's Day so that you can have a focus on getting some gifts or sweets for Mom. You can reach out to Brett Franzen at the Goose and the Gander for more information. The next Mid-Central Women's Christian Temperance Union meeting will take place on Saturday, May 16th at 11:30 at Monocle's Pizza in Villa Grove. A representative from the Empty Tomb in Champaign will speak about the services they provide and offer an opportunity for folks to ask questions. The Sydney American Legion Post will hold their next monthly meeting at their post home on South David Street in Sydney on Monday, May 18th at 6 p.m. And from our Sydney correspondent, she wishes us a great week and a happy spring. Next, we have a lengthy article brought to us by the Capital News Illinois agency regarding the Safety Act, which is back in the spotlight after the killing of a Chicago police officer. Both Governor Pritzker and State House Republicans are pointing fingers over blame for the alleged killer's release. This article by Ben Selinsky. The Safety Act is again generating controversy following the killing of a Chicago police officer whose alleged shooter critics of the law say was only out of jail because of the state's pretrial laws. While Republicans say the law needs to be changed to make it easier to hold a person in custody while they await trial, others say the judge who allowed the suspect's release had the authority to detain him but made the wrong decision. Governor J.B. Pritzker said the judge should have ordered the detention of Alfonso Talley, a man with a violent criminal history who is charged with shooting and killing Chicago police officer John Bartholomew at a hospital on the city's north side on April 25th. The safety law creates a presumption of pretrial release and directs the justice system to order the least restrictive method of ensuring that someone attends their trial. but it also lets prosecutors petition judges to detain individuals whom they believe are a risk to the public or of fleeing prosecution. Talley had previously served time in prison and was convicted of crimes such as aggravated armed robbery and battery of a correctional officer. According to WGN Television, Talley was granted pretrial release by a Cook County judge over prosecutors' objections while he faced armed carjacking charges. He was put on electronic monitoring, but he stopped showing up to court in March, and his monitor went silent. A warrant was issued for his arrest, but he remained out of jail. "The reality of the Safety Act is stark," said House Republican leader Tony McCombie, who said at a news conference on Wednesday, "Individuals with extensive criminal histories or active charges are being released and committing crimes, serious crimes, in their communities." McCombie and Senate Republican leader John Curran from Downers Grove are proposing a specific solution in response to Bartholomew's killing. They want people who are on electronic monitoring pretrial and commit a new crime to automatically have pretrial release revoked until their case is resolved. Since the law's early days, its Republican opponents repeatedly call for giving judges full discretion to keep dangerous suspects detained. Governor Pritzker told reporters in Chicago on Wednesday that judicial decisions have led to many of the high-profile releases of people who've gone on to commit violent crime. "In most of the cases where Republicans have complained about the Safety Act, it's actually been the bad decision by an elected judge in Illinois or no hearing at all because the prosecutor did not bring it to the judge. And that has been a reason why somebody gets let out," Pritzker said. "In many instances, proponents have argued repeat offenders could have been out on bail under the previous system. State lawmakers passed the Safety Act in January 2021 as part of a series of initiatives led by the Illinois Legislative Black Caucus in response to civil unrest and racial justice conversations following the 2020 murder of George Floyd. Governor Pritzker's Republican opponent this fall, former Senator Darren Bailey of Clay County, held a news conference at the State House on Thursday to call for the Safety Act's repeal. However, some of his proposals mirror the already existing Pretrial Fairness Act, that portion of the Safety Act that deals with pretrial procedures and is the subject of much of the criticism over the law. Bailey outlined his six-point proposal in a news conference. It would keep the no-cash bail system and require judges to evaluate a person's criminal history, compliance with supervision, and risk to victims. It would also allow judges to order the detention of people who are deemed a public safety threat or a flight risk before trial. All of those are components of the current law. If a judge believes that someone is more likely than not to be a danger to the community, they stay in jail," Bailey said. Senator L.G. Sims of Chicago, an architect of the Safety Act, said that he hopes other Republicans also come to realize that the state is better off without cash bail. "Certainly," he says, "it's recognition that the policy is working," Sims said of Bailey's proposal, "and the cash bail policy was certainly never about safety. It was always about access to wealth." Bailey's more specific changes to the law would create a presumption of detention for repeat violent offenders, while the current law requires prosecutors to prove that a person must be detained. He also wants changes to electronic monitoring rules to end free movement requirements. It's basically the honor system, Bailey said, and that ends. Violent offenders will be supervised by real law enforcement, people with the authority to act when something goes wrong. And if you violate your monitor, even once, you're back in front of a judge within 48 hours. No loopholes, no excuses, no second chances. Governor Pritzker also said he believes that people should be immediately apprehended if they violate mandatory supervised release terms. McCombie and Curran both say their proposal is common sense. This is saying that if you get out of jail free card and you get a second chance and you mess that up by committing another felony while on release, you don't get any more chances, Curran said. Despite chatter from some top Democrats earlier this year that lawmakers could consider changes to the Safety Act, nothing is immediately being considered in Springfield. If there is something that we need to work through, we certainly can evaluate that to see how it works, Sims said. Cook County court reports show that 83% of people who have been released pre-trial have not committed new crimes. 6% have been charged with new violent crimes, while 11% have been charged with new nonviolent crimes. Sims said the tragedy involving Bartholomew's death doesn't mean that the law needs to be tossed aside. I wish that folks who were the purveyors of fear, who want to just trot these issues out, the one-offs, they would take time to delve into the policy and the records and see how things are working, he said. And that's what you see from folks, from academicians to practitioners. They're showing that we really are making good progress. Capital News Illinois is a nonprofit, nonpartisan news service that distributes state government coverage to hundreds of local news outlets statewide. It is funded primarily by the Illinois Press Foundation and the Robert R. McCormick Foundation. And now some news on local events coming up. We want to remind everyone that running through this Sunday, May 31st, Menards Home Improvement Store is sponsoring a pet supplies drive, and it's at all local stores. You can visit any Menards store and talk about their pet supplies drive. Next up, we have a senior luncheon at St. Pat's Parish Hall in Tolono, the second Wednesday of every month. It's called the Senior Luncheon for ages 55 and up. Coffee hour starts at 10:30 a.m. and lunch starts at 11:30. Bring a $3 donation and a side dish to share. The St. Patrick's Parish Pantry is open on Monday evenings from 5 to 6:30 p.m. and on Friday mornings from 9 to 10:30 p.m. That's at St. Patrick's Parish Hall in Tolono. Also in Tolono, the third Thursday of every month is the meeting for the Tolono Fun Days Committee. This is held the third Thursday of every month at 6:30 at the Tolono Police Station. Also in Tolono, the Giving Place is open every Wednesday from 4 to 6 p.m. to help families in need of food items. Also, we have a brief rundown on Unit 7 school events this coming week, highlighted by on May 7th, the Senior Honors Night is at 7 p.m. and leading up to the Unity graduation ceremonies, which will be at the Rocket Center on May 17th at 2 p.m. Congratulations to all Unity grads this spring. This concludes our reading of the May 6, 2026 edition of Southern Champaign County Today. My name is Lori Talkington for the Illinois Radio Reader, and I invite you to join us again next week, Wednesday of each month. This concludes our reading of the April 29th edition of Southern Champaign County Today. My name is Lori Talkington for the Illinois Radio Reader, and I invite you to join us again next week.